everyone. Today, Alex and I are here with a very, very special guest. Her name is Christine Hassler. Now, Christine has an amazing story. She is a very inspiring female entrepreneur. She's actually a coach, she's a speaker, and she is a successful author of two books. Her first book is called 20-Something, 20-Everything, and her second book is the 20-Something Manifesto. Christine has actually appeared on the Today Show, on CNN, on NBC and CBS, Fox, and the list goes on and on, as an expert in her industry. And some of the questions that she really works with people to find out is, who am I, what do I want, and how do I get what I want? So welcome, Christine, and thank you so much for joining us on Juicy Geniuses today.
Oh, I'm so excited to be here.
Yeah, we're so excited to have you here, Christine. And as Leanne said, you're really someone who immediately when we found out about what you were doing, we looked at each other and we said, oh my goodness, this is such a juicy genius. We need to interview her because I know that our community of women listening are going to get so much out of your story. Your message is so similar to ours in a way of really inspiring people to figure out what it is that they want in life and how to just go out there and get it despite all of the obstacles and struggle that gets thrown at them. So we want to just jump right in and just, first of all, get you to tell us a little bit more about yourself and about your business.
Cool. And the first thing I want to say is anybody that's listening is like, oh my gosh, but I don't know what I want out of life. That's totally okay. You're normal. We don't all know. It's totally a process of discovery. Well, let's see. My story. When people ask me, you know, how did I create my business? How did I become a life coach, author, and speaker? My first response is it was never part of my plan at all, which is ironic because as a kid and teenager and young adult, I was completely a planner, like totally planner type A, perfectionist type of personality. And a lot of that came from in middle school and high school. I was really tormented in school. Starting in fifth grade, a couple of girls started the I Hate Christine Club. By eighth grade, I had the nickname of Monkey Girl because my arms and my legs grew before the rest of my body. I had two mouth appliances before braces and acne, and I was a late bloomer, and I just was a bullseye for a lot of reasons. And because of that, I didn't have any friends, and I bought into the misunderstanding that there was something terribly broken and wrong with me, and I was dreadfully unlikable, and I better find something that made me worthy. Because I didn't know at the time that all of us are inherently worthy and valuable and lovable. I thought that that was something that we earned. So in order to earn my keeps, so to say, I became an overachiever. I became addicted to doing. I had to get straight A's. If I got a B, it was like a total meltdown would happen. And I became over-identified with what I could do. And I really, really thought that that's what made me a valuable person, is what I could accomplish in the world. And so that drove me. And what's kind of interesting about that is that's something that our society really rewards. You know, driven people, accomplished people, straight-A students are rewarded. So I didn't think there was anything wrong with what I was doing. So that driven personality continued and through college and into my 20s. And after college, I moved to the place where a lot of insecure people go, which is Hollywood. And I tried to prove myself out in Hollywood because, you know, I didn't know it at the time, but for having such a difficult time in high school and always looking at the popular crowd and wanting to be with the cool kids, Hollywood's sort of like the adult version of the popular crowd. So I thought if I could prove myself in one of the toughest industries, then maybe I'd finally feel worthy and valuable. So I moved out here and I was an agent. I became the youngest female agent ever. By the time I was 25, I was promoted, which is super, super young. And worked my way up, and there I was, you know, just shy of my 26th birthday, sitting in my gorgeous Beverly Hills office with an assistant and making lots of money in my fancy suits, and I was absolutely miserable. And I panicked because I really thought the formula was be really successful and that will make me happy. And it wasn't. I really started to look at what I was doing and realized I didn't like the job I was doing at all. But I didn't know what else to do because I didn't have a plan B. My plan A's had always worked. But it got to the point where I just couldn't take it anymore. I was getting sick. I was stressed out every day. I would walk into the office and start shaking because I just hated being there. And so I quit, and that started about a two-year cycle of what I call my quarter-life crisis. Soon after I quit, I went into even a bigger funk and a depression because without my job, without my big fancy career, I felt like a nobody. you know, people would ask me, what do I do? And I didn't have a good answer. And since my whole sense of self-worth was wrapped up in what I did for a living, I felt worthless. Then I went into lots of debt because I was trying to keep up with my lifestyle. Then I was disowned from my family briefly. Then I got really sick. I got diagnosed with an undiagnosable autoimmune disorder, which basically was brought on by stress. And then 6 months before a wedding, my fiance dumped me out of the blue. So by 27, I had lost my career, money, family, my health, and who I thought was my soulmate. And there was one night on my bathroom floor where I was just laying there and for the first time in my life thought about ending it. And in that moment, there was something else that came in, and I refer to it as my spiritual awakening. It was totally my turning point in life, where something that felt like a wiser part of me came in and really said to me, you know, this is all happening for reasons that you'll understand eventually. And I got a glimpse of what I would call God. People might call it different things, source, universe, unconditional love, but I got a glimpse of the feeling of love and acceptance and presence. And I was like, wow, this feels really good. And as soon as I realized I was feeling it, my mind came back in and tried to figure it out, and it went away. And I just knew I wanted more of that. And so I started praying, and I said to God, okay, God, I'll make you a deal. If I figure my way out of this, I'll somehow help other people. And ever since that day in 2003, I've been totally dedicated to helping other people reorient themselves from the outside-in perspective to the inside-out. You know, to really help people who are trying so desperately to find the person or the body or the money or the job or whatever it is to make them feel better about themselves, to find happiness on the inside. And then once you do that, the things you create in the external world are a lot more in alignment with who you really are.
Wow. Well, thank you, Christine, for being so candid in sharing your story. I know there are so many things that you said that I can totally relate to, and I know Alex can as well. You know, with me, when I was younger, I was in university and I was working for the top marketing companies in North America, and I was just totally sales driven and really competitive. And if somebody were to meet me now, I'm still driven, but I'm a lot softer. And at that time, my life was so unbalanced. I would work all day in the office and I would be out at events all night. Every single weekend, my relationship started to suffer. I remember my boyfriend at the time, him and I, our relationship was not doing well at all. My relationship with my family was suffering. My relationship with my friends was almost non-existent. I actually was diagnosed with an autoimmune disorder, and it was brought on by stress. So for me, that's when I was like, okay, I've had the top sales numbers. I've done this, I've done that. All of these things that I always thought would make me happy, and I was totally unfulfilled. And it was that time when I'm like, hell no, this is not what life is all about, or at least for me. And I knew that there was something more. And that's when I set out on my journey to really figuring out what is best for me and what do I want in life. Something that Alex and I have talked about a lot in the past is, when did we have our stroke of juicy genius? And what we call a stroke of juicy genius is, when does the person realize that this is what you're truly meant to be doing, like what you're doing now? And I think I know when yours was from the story that you told us, but if you could just share with us, really, what would you consider was your stroke of juicy genius, that moment of realization that, yep, this is what I'm supposed to do?
I think for me it was less about this is what I'm supposed to do, and more about this is how I'm supposed to be and this is how I am supposed to feel. I think for me, and I love that you guys call it, I keep calling it you guys, you gals, a juicy genius moment, because it is really juicy. And I really think in life we all come in with our unique curriculum. There's lessons here that we're destined to learn. And to me, destiny is less about the specific job or person you end up with or whatever, and more about the lessons that you're supposed to learn. And there are all different kinds of ways that you can learn them. And so my juicy genius moment was really learning, oh, it's not those external things that make me happy. There's another way here. There's another perspective. And that realization was my juicy genius. So it was learning what my biggest struggle was and then reframing it in terms of what's the lesson in my struggle. That was the moment.
Wow, I love that. Something else that I hear you talk about and I think is just so, so powerful and just makes me respect and admire you so much is you said, you followed the formula. You went out to Hollywood. You worked your butt off. You were an executive at 25 in your cushy office, in your power suits. I mean, that totally used to be what I wanted to. And I remember thinking, when I have that, that's when I know that I've made it. And so, you know, you say that you walked into your job and you were shaking because you hated it so much. I know that there's a lot of women out there who probably are shaking their heads right now thinking, oh my goodness, that is exactly where I am right now. And I love how you said it just so then I quit. And I think that's so amazing. And I know that both Leanne and I have been in that position before. But what a lot of women who are listening right now are probably wondering is, how did you, first of all, find the courage to step away from that vision that you thought you wanted and step into something completely new and unknown when you didn't even know what the next step was? I mean, you had said it's not like you had another great job lined up for the day that you left and you were all of a sudden living your passions. Because I think so many people are sitting there going, no way can I leave my job without knowing what that next step is. And there's that uncertainty that makes people really uncomfortable. So how did you find the courage to step away from your cushy lifestyle into something that was totally, completely new and unknown?
Oh gosh, that question could be a total hour interview. First, for anyone that's listening, I think it's important for me to say I could have been in any job, even the job I'm in now, and still have been feeling the feelings that I have felt. Because there was so much going on in me that was unresolved that it wouldn't have really mattered what I had been doing. The angst or the anxiety would have shown up somewhere, somehow. I know that to be true. So if you are miserable in your job, but you're like, I can't quit right now, that's totally okay. It might not be the job that needs to change. It might just be you that needs to change and your orientation to your job. So sometimes leaving a job is the most supportive thing to do. Sometimes it's just changing the way we're in it. So not everybody has to quit. Let me just first say that.
Right.
And, you know, when I did quit, I did not have a plan, like you said, and it was a free fall. Like, people talk about leaps of faith and make them sound sexy and awesome, but the thing about a leap of faith is there's a free fall period. Like, you don't take a leap of faith and then, like, land on a nice floaty cloud. You take a leap of faith and then you're free falling. And that free fall can be a month or it can be years. It was, you know, a good 3.5 years before I fully was able to support myself doing what I'm doing and when I resigned from my job. So it did take some time. And in terms of the courage, you know, courage is not the absence of fear. Courage is moving forward even if fear is present. If I had waited to not be scared, I never would have left. I never would have left. But I knew enough inside of me to know that I wasn't going to be able to do the work I needed to do on myself and still perform in a very high stress kind of job. And I knew that I needed to give myself sort of like a grace period. And the only way to do that was to start to disentangle myself from a career that was just not serving me anymore.
What I really found interesting about what you said, Christine, is that it doesn't necessarily mean that you need to step away from your job or your business if you're unhappy. A lot of times when we interview people, this really is focused on, you know, I went from this career to that career. What really, really stands out to me and what you said is that it truly is an inward journey. You can change the external things, but if all you're doing is changing the external without focusing any attention inside, then you're not going to be in any better position. You've just simply changed your outer circumstances. And I think that is so, so powerful. And it's something I'm really grateful you touched base on. And I think it's great for our community to hear this. It's okay. Maybe you don't necessarily know what you want to do next, but start the inward reflection. Even if you're in a job that you're not happy with right now, start journaling every day and start taking time to ask yourself what is going on and really get in touch with your inner desires and look for those opportunities and challenges to overcome. And I truly am a believer the more inward work you do, things start to manifest in your life around you and outwardly, and those things are going to be the right things for you.
It's looking at what the job is teaching you. See, it's like we attract jobs in our life just like we are people in terms of romantic relationships. Like, it's all part of our curriculum. So you may hate your job and blame your job, but you're the one that got yourself there. So there's something for you to learn. In coaching people for as long as I have, I see it all the time. People leave a job, they make a reactionary decision versus a decision that's based on their own inner knowing and inner response system. And they go get another job, and then the same problems show up, you know, 6 months into the new job. So it's really coming from a place of, okay, what am I here to learn? How can I learn? How can I make some changes? And then when you do make changes, you're doing it from a much less reactive place. You're doing it from a more guided place. And to me, that makes a lot of difference in terms of how smooth the transition is.
Again, you touch base on such an important point there. I know for me, for a while, like I had similar situations showing up in my life over and over again, or the certain types of personalities. Finally, I looked and I'm like, okay, why are these people showing up in my life? It is obviously for a reason. And I think that in all things in life, no matter good or bad or a challenge, there's always something for us to learn from. And when you actually adopt that perspective, what happens is truly amazing because you're constantly learning, you're constantly growing, and these great things unfold. So what now? You know, you've wrote 2 books and you're a speaker and you're a coach and you're just this inspiring person. What is one of the best parts of being an entrepreneur to you and really being able to live your passions every day?
Oh, gosh. A joke about living kind of a pea in the mattress life. You know that old story about the princess who can feel the little teeny pea in the mattress because she's just so sensitive to things. I feel that way with life. Like I notice when I'm out of balance in any way. Like I can't live like a numb, shut down, going through the motions kind of life. I'm always looking at everything, good or bad, as what is my learning in this? You know, how am I growing? What's the opportunity here? Every new person that comes into my life, what's here for us to do together? How can I support you? You know, what's the learning and growth in this? So that's what I love about it, is that I really sort of notice everything, and I'm really committed to learning all the time. And I love being able to set my own schedule and create my own freedom and feel like I'm working towards something that's bigger than me versus the old days where my own insecurity was pushing me. It doesn't feel good to be pushed. It feels really good to be pulled and lifted and inspired, and I think that's one of the gifts of being an entrepreneur.
Yeah, completely. And I know that Leanne and I feel the same way about, you know, what it is that we're doing. We're not doing it because we feel like we should. We're doing it because we truly, truly love it and wake up every morning so jazzed about what it is that we're doing and so excited to get our message out. And so I think that's so important and so powerful as well. As we're coming to, you know, the end of the 20 minutes here, and I don't want to go too long over, but I'm thinking, okay, if I could ask you one last question that really I think our community could benefit from, it would be, if you had, you know, one juicy tip or piece of advice to all of our women in our community that are looking to either start that inner journey or step away from the formula, as we've been calling it, you know, the A to B to C to D that they feel they should be following, and it's leading them to that point where they're completely unhappy and not feeling 100% fulfilled in what it is that they're doing, you know, what would that tip or piece of advice to our community be?
Sure. Well, it's 2 things based on the most common pitfalls and things that bring on suffering in women. The 2 things I would say are, you must stop being so hard on yourself, and you must stop caring what other people think of you, because what other people think of you is really none of your business. Mm-hmm. So you've always done the best you can with where you've been. And any kind of perfectionism or comparison is just blocking your intuition. And your intuition is your superpower. So if you're doing a lot of comparison or self-beating, you're cutting off your access to your superpower, which is going to guide you in all of your decisions. And if you're living your life obsessed or overly concerned with being a people pleaser or doing what other people think you should or worrying about what other people think of you, then again, like, you're cut off from your own true, unique guidance system. And I think the most courageous people in the world are the people who have been more motivated by an inner calling and a desire to make a change and have totally put aside what anybody else thinks of it.
Very, very powerful. Thank you so much, Christine. We really appreciate all of your juicy tips. That was amazing.
Well, I appreciate your juiciness. You guys are awesome, and what you've created is incredible. So I'm just thrilled to be a part of anything that you're putting out there.
Thank you so much. And I know, I mean, the energy in this conversation, I feel like you said, we could talk for hours and hours and hours, and I know that you would still continue to add tremendous value. Everything you're saying is so, so powerful. I got so much out of this short little 20-minute interview, and I really know our community will as well, and I look forward to doing more interviews with you in the future. And you know, everyone listening can know that this isn't the last you'll hear of Christine Hassler. We look forward to really sharing a lot of her information and insight with the rest of you. And you know, just to make sure that everyone has some information on you, Christine, do you want to maybe let people know where they can find out what you're working on right now and where they can go get more information from you?
Sure. I would love everyone just to go to my website, which is christinehassler.com, christinehassler. And please sign up for my free gift that puts you on my newsletter. And once a week, I send out a little vlog and blog, kind of inspirational update or lesson for the week. And then you can also hear about my upcoming Costa Rica retreat that I'm doing in May with another awesome self-love teacher, Christina Rilo. And then I've got some classes coming up. There's a career course, What Do I Want to Do With My Life? That's a 6-week online career course that you can find out about. And if you have any questions, there's a contact button, and you can email me, and I'd be happy to get back to anybody personally.
Well, amazing. Thank you so much for sharing that. And just so everybody knows, we will include a link to Christine's site right below the interview. So we'll make it very easy for you to be in touch with her and find out more. So thank you again, Christine, on behalf of the Juicy Geniuses community and Alex and myself. We're so grateful.
Thanks, you guys.
Bye.